Hallelujah. All right. Well, we welcome everyone. I need to change this mic up. I can't deal with the Britney Spears mic. So, hallelujah. Move this stuff out of the way here. All right, are we on there, brother? Hallelujah. Facebook, Blog Talk. All right, well, that's good. Well, praise the Lord. I want everybody to get your Bibles out. I need to get mine out this morning. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 23. The Lord has given me a word this morning entitled Straining at Gnats. Straining at Gnats. And there's actually several areas, but let's go to Matthew 23. It's actually verse 24, but we'll probably read the verses surrounding this passage. Living in a crazy world right now. Crazy world. So many things going on, so many things that we need to deal with. But Matthew 23 is Jesus addressing the religious leaders, the rabbis, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Now again, I've said this many times in preaching the gospel over the years, that, I don't know, we in the church world, and even in the world system itself, we tend to think that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were these bad, evil guys that were in a false religion. But that's not the case. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were the religious leaders, the spiritual leaders, the teachers, the doctors of theology, the doctors of divinity of their day. And they were walking in the religion of Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible, the God of creation, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were not in a false religion. They were not Islam. They were not Buddhism, Hinduism, Shintoism. This is what you have to understand. These are people, the Pharisees that Jesus addressed here, these are people who studied the Bible. These are people who spoke Hebrew and Greek. The great Dr. Gamaliel of the Pharisees who taught, had a school, and taught the Apostle Paul when he was Saul of Tarsus. So when you realize that Jesus had to rebuke these people so soundly and so firmly, the equivalent of that today would be the pastors and the prophets and the ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ who are willing to stand up and speak against the pastors and teachers and prophets of our day that are not discerning the times and the seasons and that are teaching false doctrine or that have bad motives. See, listen, they didn't want to crucify Jesus because he healed the sick. They didn't want to crucify Jesus because he cast out demons or raised people from the dead. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders, they wanted to crucify Jesus and have him cast out because he just didn't fit in their theological little church system. And he exposed the sin in their heart. He exposed the false teaching in their heart. And he exposed the false motives, the wrong motives in their heart. Listen, I'll tell you this much right now. If you're a pastor, prophet, evangelist, apostle, teacher, you're a minister of the fivefold ministry of the gospel, and you're not rebuking other leaders that are off, you're not following Jesus, because boy, did he, right? There's a lot of people say you shouldn't. But I'm just going to tell you, he did. Now, let's think about this. Let's fast forward to today, right? Before I read this passage in Matthew. Let's fast forward to so many Christians that are on their high and mighty religious piety horse over Trump's tapes from 2005, 11 years ago, or he was caught on a hot mic making some lewd comments about women and sexual references. And we got these Christians now all of a sudden on their high and mighty high horse going, oh, he's terrible. Terrible. You got those stats. Pull up your post you made. I'm going to give you a little stats. The church of Jesus Christ right now, who's got their fingers pointing at Donald Trump, something he did 11 years ago, even like Dr. Michael Brown, whom I am quickly losing respect for. Some folks better get off this high horse as Christians. Because we got Christians right now saying, oh, they're not going to vote for Trump or they're not going to support Trump. You got all this crazy stuff going on because of something he said 11 years ago. Let me tell you something. When I went through my divorce as a pastor and I lost everything, my church, my job, my home, my car, when I lost everything, when everything was taken from me, when all my friends forsook me, when all the church people and Christians forsook me back in 2001, let me tell you, if I'd had a hot mic on me several times, you wouldn't have liked what you heard either. Amen? You understand? People go through different seasons of their lives, and I don't believe there's any Christians out there who don't go through some dark seasons or some discouragement or some depression or some disappointment or some hurt or even some intense periods where they're attacked by temptation of lust that they don't give in to it. Listen, you guys aren't going to fool me. I know that the most, you know, godly, pious one of you, every now and then, the cuss word slips out. I know it does. So don't act like you're holier than thou. Problem is that you're not famous, you're not running for president, and you don't have microphones, hadn't had microphones on you for years, or you would have been caught. There's a lot of pastors out there would have been caught. Now, let me just read some statistics here. Because America has a sexual sin problem. And the church of Jesus Christ, those who call themselves Christians, who even call themselves true, born-again, spirit-filled Christians who have repented and love Jesus and love the Word of God, let me just tell you that there is a rampant problem with sexual lust, perversion, pornography, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. It's rampant in the church, folks. And listen, I'm not here, and this message today is not to condemn Christians, because I'm going to admit all of us in our Christian life are going to wrestle with lust or anger or hurt or offense or unforgiveness. These things are going to rise up in us at times, sometimes stronger than other times. And we're not always going to resist them and be Mr. and Miss Holy. But these are some statistics. All right? And I'm just going to read what my wife posted because I think it was beautiful about this whole subject. And believe me, it'll make sense when you understand what I'm talking about, straining at gnats and swallowing the camels. We're going to read in a minute. But this is yesterday at 6:30 p.m. My wife posted, if Donald Trump was recently truly born again, as Dr. James Dobson says he was, right? Then his sins from 2005 are forgiven. Praise God for the blood of Jesus and his wonderful forgiveness. Some Christians who are snubbing their noses at Donald Trump's past failures had better hope and pray their past or present sins are not paraded for all to see. Got a feeling that some people running their mouths right now are about to get exposed, right? Just take a look at what Christian men are doing. According to this 2014 Charisma article, the statistics for Christian men between 18 and 30 years old are particularly striking. Christian men, not unsaved men, men who claim to follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, 77% look at pornography at least monthly. 36% view pornography on a daily basis. That's one third, and that is a habitual sin. 32% admit being addicted to pornography, and another 12% think they may be. So that gives you what? 44% of Christian men saying they may have a problem, an addiction. And I will say this, listen, there's been studies done to show that frequent looking at pornography, and especially from a young age, does cause chemical changes in the brain that will affect you all of your life. Call it erotoxin. You know, your mama and daddy used to say pornography would rot your brain. Literally does. Literally does. Proved it. Okay? The statistics for middle-aged Christian men, ages 31 to 49, are no less disturbing. 77%. So it's the exact same. 77% look at pornography while at work in the past 3 months. 64% view pornography at least monthly. 18% admit to being addicted to pornography, and another 8% think they may be. Even married Christian men are falling prey to pornography and extramarital sexual affairs at an alarming rate. 55% look at pornography at least monthly. This is married men. 35% had an extramarital affair while married. So the church world better be careful about pointing fingers at people's lust issues or sexual problems, because we full of it. Okay? And this is my point. Now, I'm not justifying sexual immorality, pornography, lust. This is not justifying it. It is sin. And habitual practice of it will get you into demonic trouble. It'll get you in trouble with God. It'll begin to separate you from God. It'll begin to hinder not only your relationship with God, but it'll begin to hinder your relationship with the people around you. And like I said, it'll begin to cook your brain. But then let's talk about women for a second. Let's just talk about women. I saw one lady today, you know, because the big attack right now on Donald Trump, oh, how could he be so, you know, so crude toward women? Let me ask you something. How many of you have heard of the book that came out, 50 Shades of Grey, and the movie that followed? Do you know that 80%, I mean, this was a bestseller. This topped the Harry Potter series. And this is about a woman allowing herself to be, you know, in the S&M stuff, right? I don't know how worse you could get, right? Now think about this. Hold on a second. Think about this. 80% of the millions of copies of that book that were sold both in the UK and here in the US, 80% were women. And then when the movie came out, the movie made $585 million at the theater, primarily women. I remember seeing some people on my Facebook that I grew up with, some women getting together going, "We can't wait to go see 50 Shades of Grey." So it's not just a man problem. So all this talk, let me just say this. All this talk about making women objects. Listen, we're in a season now. The Apostle Paul said, we would be in a season when judgment would come that men would be with men and women with women. We really, you know, when Paul, he talked about in 2 Timothy 3, when he said in the last days, perilous times will come. He said, men will be lovers of their own selves, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. One of the words he used there in 2 Timothy was incontinent. That doesn't mean you can't hold yourself, you know, keep yourself from going to the bathroom on yourself. I know that's the way we use it, but it literally means in that passage in the Greek, unable to control yourself in the area of sexual lust. The King James has another word called concupiscence. That's sexual lust. Fornication is actually committing, fulfilling sexual lust that you're not supposed to fulfill. The word fornication, pornea, sound familiar? That's the word. I'm just saying, look, not here to beat you up, but if this sexual sin problem, lust problem, rules your life, you better take drastic measures as a Christian to repent and get delivered from it. You hear me? Now, listen, I know, listen, there are people, I have counseled people for 30 years now. And people who have been sexually molested when they were young, or got into pornography when they were young, or were raped or something of that nature, they have a much, much harder time getting free from sexual lust and perversion, and they're tormented. It's a war. You got to understand. I'm not, again, not trying to beat anybody up, because it's a war that we face, but it's a war through the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus and the word of God that as Christians, we don't need to be worried so much about everybody else. We better make sure before we talk about somebody else, we better get, before we try to get the speck out of their eye, we better get the beam out of our own eye, especially in this sexual lust area, okay? Now, like I said, I'm going to say this. Look, for men who are mostly visual, and this is not just men. Some women are visual and lust, you know, have lust issues too. But what I'm saying is I remember an old preacher many, many years ago used to say, you can't help, you know, if a bird flies over your head, but you can help if it wants to build a nest in your hair, right? I don't have to worry about that, though. What do you let nest in your head? Right? You know, I had somebody, because, of course, God gave me a word about Donald Trump, and, of course, the moment this comes out, I got people who listen. You know, I'm finding out that people just are listening all over the place. They come back, are you still going to stand by your support of Donald Trump? I said, this was never about whether Donald Trump was a choir boy or a Sunday school teacher. The word of the Lord to me in January before the primaries, God told me that it was God's will, his will, for Donald Trump to be president of the United States, that God said, I have put my hand upon him, my favor upon him. He said, I'm turning his heart toward me, but he will not become president if my people don't discern this situation and pray for him, because he is surrounded by enemies and problems and issues that will take him down. And I shared this in January of 2016. See, we better get a grip on something here. We don't elect choir boys to be president of the United States. The beloved JFK was smoking marijuana and having an affair with Marilyn Monroe, and he still managed to get us out of the Cuban Missile Crisis. We know what Bill Clinton was doing. George W. Bush was having his homosexual prostitute, Jeff Gannon, in the White House on a regular basis. Even in the Reagan White House, it was reported, and I believe, though, this was Bush Sr., the vice president, having underage call boys in the White House in 1989. What am I getting at? I mean, has anybody ever heard some of the tapes of LBJ or Nixon talking in private? Not for small children and women. All these men were presidents, Republican, Democrat. Most of them, all of them, not truly born again. And let me just say, for you pious, holy people, the things that Donald Trump was talking about in that bus in 2005, before I became a true Christian, When I was in fourth and fifth grade, waiting for school, we would all gather outside waiting to go into the school. Martin Elementary, that's now Northside. We would stand out on that lawn in the morning and talk worse than that in the fourth and fifth grade. Unsaved men talk like that. I hate to tell you, that is the way they talk all the time, in locker rooms, in private, in poker games, because a man that does not have any desire to rein in his flesh or has any incentive through wanting to do God's will and draw near to God, if he has none of that in his life, all he's going to be driven by is his sexual lust. I don't know why we think an unsaved man is going to act like a saved man. Stop being naive. But what we're talking about here with between Trump and Hillary, it's apples and oranges, folks. Trump was making lewd comments about women because he has a lust issue. She's abandoning our ambassador and special forces in Benghazi and letting them die. How is that even comparable? Trump's never handled top secret information and broken the law and put our national security at risk. Sorry he didn't do that on The Apprentice. All these different governments. She's upset about WikiLeaks leaking all her emails and all these private conversations. Well, maybe if you had a secure government server with the proper algorithms, you might not have got hacked. But now we find out Hillary is for open borders. This has come out on the WikiLeaks. She's for open borders. She stated plainly that what she'll say in public is not what she will do in private. She said she's going to use executive orders to put gun manufacturers out of business and to make it impossible to get firearms in the U.S. Better stop, Christians, Dr. Michael Brown and anybody else. Stop straining at your little religious gnats, and you better wake up to the big picture, because if Hillary wins, she's going to start marching Christians to concentration camps, now called FEMA camps. If she wins, it's over. America will have no hope. She will sell us out further than Barack Obama ever dreamed. She is evil to her core. They don't call her the Queen of Blood for nothing. She went in and killed and killed Gaddafi in Libya and bragged about it. We came, we saw, he died. Ha ha ha, laughs about it. Also, she could use Benghazi as a station to ship weapons, U.S. weapons, through Libya to the Syrian rebels who are ISIS. There is no comparison, you guys. No comparison between the two. One is a UN globalist Luciferian, and the other is just a red-blooded American man. I mean, it's these things. Now, I'm not justifying Trump's behavior. It was, what he said was wrong, what he did was wrong. But do I want the people who have funded, trained, and created the entire atmosphere for ISIS still to have the White House? She wants to bring in all the Syrian refugees possible into this country. She's guilty of giving our uranium to the Russians, and she wants to talk about Trump saying Putin's a good leader. I want to say this. Putin is a good leader. God, I wish he was the president of the United States. It's a man with some guts and some backbone that cares about his people. willing to do what's necessary to protect his nation. And folks, this whole thing with Syria, everybody's sleeping. Everybody's either consumed with football or consumed with Brad and Angelina Jolie or the Kardashian getting robbed. Everybody's concerned about this, and we don't understand that Barack Obama is pushing us toward World War III with Russia. Listen, I went on the Russian website. Let's just talk about this. Pull up these. You got the pictures I gave you, right? Number one. This is from Twitter, the Russian embassy here in the United States. This is their Twitter page. I went and just took screenshots. Here's October 4th. Russian embassy. The administration of Barack Obama has done all it could to destroy the atmosphere of trust between Russia and the United States. Why do you think they're putting that on their Twitter feed? Let's go to the second one. Russian embassy. In 1938, England and France betrayed Czechoslovakia in Hitler's favor, created conditions that led to World War II. What do you think that's about? Then the United States is betraying their friendship with Russia, and it's going to lead to World War III. Let's look at the next one. That's September 30th. Let's look at the next tweet. You got the third one? Russian embassy. Following hostile steps and statements by U.S., Russia decided to terminate implementing agreement on uranium. Here's the Russian Foreign Ministry says we can no longer trust Washington in a sensitive sphere such as the modernization and safety of Russian nuclear power plants. If Russia makes the decision to convert particular research reactors to low enriched nuclear fuel, we will conduct this work independently, meaning no more joint work. And the U.S. just cut off back channel communications. Secretary of State Kerry just went on and is trying to blame Russia for war crimes. Let me tell you, the people who created ISIS have committed war crimes. That would be Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry, and John McCain, and all the rest of the traitors in the Republican Party. This is what I'm getting at. You better wake up and see the big picture of things. The big picture, the United States, what we're doing and have been doing in Syria, we are the bad guys. The Russians are the good guys. And like what Alex Jones said the other day, he said, when our government has become so corrupt that we make the Russians look good, we have gone way downhill. And if Hillary Clinton wins because stupid Christians are worried about some comments he made in 2005, you deserve to go to your concentration camp. As she called them, fun camps. Because for her, the tormenting and imprisoning of Christians and patriots and gun owners and all that, to her, that's going to be fun. You don't understand how evil these people are. I go all the way back to Hillary and Bill. I lived in Arkansas when they were governors. They're evil murderers. They don't care. Trump's life and record does not even compare to the Clintons. No comparison. But see, if you're media mind-controlled zombies,
we can't have Trump because he said something bad about women.
Good Lord. Here's another tweet, Russian embassy. This is one of their generals, commander, in Syria. You know what he said? To U.S.-led coalition, no strikes on Syrian troops. It threatened Russians who provide humanitarian help. You know what that's saying? Oh, you now have a no-fly zone, United States, in Syria. And to enforce that, they said in S-300 and S-400 missiles that can and will shoot down any plane that comes into Syria. So the United States is talking about a no-fly zone. So the general, one of our generals said, I think the general, the chief, joint chiefs of staff said, they were talking in Congress about issuing a no-fly zone over Syria. And one general had to say, you know, if you do that, it's war with Russia. This is going on. Has anybody heard this stuff in the news? This is happening right now. Russia just moved nuclear weapons into Eastern Europe. Kaliningrad. Hadn't heard about that one, have you? No. While we sit around and debate, like Dr. Michael Brown, should Christians support a political candidate? Or should Christian ministers endorse a particular... God, you Pharisee. Stop it! God told Jeremiah to tell the people of God, submit to Nebuchadnezzar, and it will go well with you. Fight him, and you die, or you go into captivity. I'm telling you right now, you Christians, you fight Donald Trump, you're going to get what you deserve. This is no good. And I'm going to say something else, too. If Hillary wins and becomes the president of the United States, a woman who should be in prison for violating national security, for taking money, which is illegal, from foreign governments to use in a campaign, $200 million from Saudi Arabia, she should not be honored as president of the United States, and every red state ought to secede from the Union. I'm serious. We can no longer accept. We put up 8 years now with an illegal president who has violated the Constitution, the law, international law, on down the line. Illegal actions in Libya, Syria, Iraq, Iran. Paid ransom money to the Iranians. I'm sorry. But the problem is most people don't know that they're straining at the gnat and swallowing the camel. Let's go. Let's finally read our passage. That was just your introduction. We may be here for a while. People have no idea what these people have planned. And it's not because you can't. The information's there. So to the religious leaders out there who are blind guides, let's look at this. Jesus speaking here. We're going to read Matthew 23, verse 23 first. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and you have omitted, or cumin, and you have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment and mercy and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. You blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. You blind Pharisee, clean first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so you outwardly appear righteous to men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. You're blind. You look good on the outside. But he says to them, you strain at gnats and you swallow the camel. We sit here and strain at the little problems of Trump's past and we swallow the camel of Hillary Clinton. We strain at Trump struggling with sexual lust when we all struggle with sexual lust. When it's rampant in the church. We want to argue over Bible prophecy, whether it's relevant today or not, and it's happening, and we're about to have World War III with Russia And everybody's just snoozing along in there. And most churches today, to keep their little 501c3 tax exempt status, wouldn't dare talk like I'm talking this morning. They let the government rob their free speech over money. I'm sorry. Our church has never been 501c3. Any church I've ever pastored never was, and I would never allow it to happen. You know why? Because I'm going to say exactly what I want to say. I'm going to say exactly what God tells me to say, and I don't care about a 501c3 tax-exempt status. Money better quit being people's God. I know that's one thing for sure. Too many decisions of Christians are made over money. I'm sorry, but I'm fired up this morning. We strain at stupid little things. You know, I'm going to close with this. And I promise I will. There's another thing that we do. Straining at a gnat, something small, and yet just overlooking the big problem. It's called offense. I've seen people leave churches, get divorces, abandon friendships, and it's usually over a small offense. Somebody did something you didn't like, they said something you didn't like, even if it was true. I'll tell you this little story and then I'll finish. Offense is a serious thing because, in fact, what did I do with that? Did I ever get the iPad out? Just type in Google the definition of offense and just hand it to me. I'll just read it in a sec. But no, just online. I just want the English definition from the dictionary. I'll give you the Greek definition of scandalon. But let me say this. Little offense. People are going to do things that you don't like. Christians, brothers and sisters, your pastor. People are going to do things you don't like. Or they're not going to do something you think they should. Right? Or they're going to say something to you that cut maybe a little bit or hurt a little bit. Sometimes the truth hurts. You don't want to hear the truth. Right? And you get your feelings hurt over that. I mean, like, you know, we had one of our closest friends and couples, most of you will know who I'm talking about, get hurt over a sermon that Nancy preached that was absolutely biblical. Every part of it was biblical. And it just cut right through their problem. It just exposed the problem in their marriage, in their life. But instead of being humble and not letting the truth offend them, they got offended. Right? Oh, okay. If you can make it a little bigger, that'd be good. Let me go back a few. And this is something I'm telling you, you have to keep a guard on. A number of months ago, well, I don't know how long ago it was, but anyway, there was a person that said some things, and the way they said them and the way they went about the whole thing, even though I was giving truth and the way they were responding was not truth, and the way they responded was very hurtful to me, disappointing. I didn't really, you know, sometimes we get disappointed in situations. And so that turns into hurt, and disappointment can turns into hurt. Then it turns into offense. But I didn't really realize. I just thought, well, you know, I'm just irritated because this person is just being, you know, hard-headed and stubborn, right? But then I had a dream this past week. And in this dream, This person came in, we came, I was in a room, and he came into the same room with me and started with that same little attitude and smirking and saying the same, you know. Well, that wasn't the problem. The problem in the dream was how I responded. Because in the dream, I said things to him in this dream I couldn't say in church. I mean, I cussed him out in my dream. Now, y'all can say what you want. I didn't sin. I didn't even go, no, no, but in my dream. But I woke up going, I mean, I remember waking up thinking, my Lord, I don't even use those words when I'm awake and mad. Right? I'm like, why am I saying that to him? And what the Lord was showing me was, I was right. He's wrong. And even the way he was coming at me was wrong. But what it revealed to me was, I had let my hurt, my disappointment turn into anger and then turn into an offense. Now, here's the definition of offense. You want to put it? I'll just read it. I mean, you got it there? This is the second one. Of course, it talks up here. The first one is the breach of the law, illegal act. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about this one right here. Annoyance or resentment brought about by a perceived insult or disregard for oneself. Hello? Disregard for oneself or one's standards or principles. It means the synonyms annoyance, anger, resentment, irritation, exasperation, wrath, displeasure, bad feelings, vexation, animosity. So I woke up from that dream and I knew the Lord was trying to show me, you got an offense with this person. And I'm like, but I'm right. I'm right. Yes, you are. But you've let this turn into an annoyance, an anger, a hurt, a frustration. Do you know what I had to do? And I noticed over the past few weeks how prayer time was harder, Bible reading was harder, everything was harder. Felt like I was walking through a swamp up to my, you know, up to my knees, trying to walk through there. Ever felt like that? So you know what you have to do? You have to choose to forgive somebody that's annoyed you, hurt you, caused you vexation, caused you anger. But let me tell you how to do it. Because I sat there and even said, Lord, I don't even know what to do about this. Yeah. I'm tired of this. People annoy me all the time. Right? And I'm sure I annoy people. So maybe this will help all of us. Right? But I said, Lord, you know, okay. I let this become an offense. So I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for my unforgiveness and attitude and offense toward this person. Now, here's what's amazing. Because of this situation, me and this individual have not talked in weeks, not even talked. And the moment I did that, I don't know if it was the same day or the very next day, I get a phone call, and we have a great conversation. And I realize, me. See, when you have an offense and you have unforgiveness, you have an attitude towards somebody, you put them in a prison. And when I forgave him and released that offense, it let him out of his prison. You don't believe me? Just read Matthew 18. You find out. And that's why I'm talking about straining in a gnat and swallowing a camel. Even with offenses, we think, oh, it's small, and we overlook the big thing. But unforgiveness and offense is a big deal. And that's why right after that I posted on my Facebook, I said, nothing will take you down faster than letting a hurt or disappointment with somebody turn into an offense. You just begin to go spiritually, everything, you begin to go downhill. And what's so bad is, most of the time, the person did do something wrong. They did say something wrong, or they didn't do something you needed them to do, or whatever. Most of the time, you are right. You are in the right. They're in the wrong. But don't sit there and swallow the gnat of I'm right and overlook the camel of I'm offended. Look, 99% of people who leave a church leave offended. That's just the truth. Very few people leave a church or ministry, their home church. Very few leave because God led them to leave. Most of the time, it's offense. Most of the time. And that's never the reason to do anything. You don't get a divorce because you're offended. You don't leave a church because you're offended. You don't leave a friendship because you're offended. You shouldn't leave a job because you're offended. Christians should be led by the Holy Spirit, nothing else. Amen? So, I hope we got it all today. That was my last point, I promise. I won't pick on you from now on. This is the way it's going to be. Let's put this stuff in perspective, whether it be with Trump versus Hillary, whether it be what's going on in the world with Syria. God, we are on the verge, you guys. And we did our program Tuesday night, Prophecy Quake radio show. It was all on Russia prepares for nuclear war against the United States and NATO. Gave all the articles, all the stuff. That's been viewed already 500 times on just on Facebook alone. So somebody out there is listening. Now listen, I got to share. Well, I'm not going to share it. I'll share it with y'all after we cut this off. I have testimony to share with you guys. Can you pull that up? You got yes last night you read to me from. Yeah. All right. Let's pray before we do that. And I want to share a testimony. Father in heaven, I ask you, God, for your grace and your mercy and the Holy Spirit to come upon all of us. Lord, as I've shared in weeks past, that we have blind spots sometimes, and sometimes we're straining at gnats and while we swallow the camels. Lord, help us to recognize and really discern the times and see the big picture and see our own heart the way it really is. Father, we want to be holy. We want to be righteous. We want to be free from lust and worldliness, and we want to be balanced. We don't want to be condemning. We don't want to reject people that struggle with the same things we struggle with. We don't want to tolerate evil. God, help us see. Help everyone see. There's a difference between struggling with a lust issue and killing people. We've really got to wake up in America. Lord, I pray there would be revival. I pray for this debate tonight that you would bless and help Donald Trump defeat that Jezebel. And we pray, God, that your kingdom come and your will be done. And that you would reveal any place in our heart that we have bitterness, hurt, disappointment, offense, and help us truly forgive, receive forgiveness, and forgive others. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah. All right. We'll say goodbye to our Facebook, Blog Talk,